Well, I want to preach for a little while this morning, and I'm so thankful for all that's happened even this weekend. We had the Gray Parade, and the Timms family, they put our float together. It was a great love has come down, and hope is born, and joy to the world, and so had a good time in the Gray Parade, and we thank the Lord for the work that went in there. Thank the Lord for the decorations in here. The Fosters have been working and got us ready for Christmas, and we're thankful for all that God is allowing us to experience now. Next week, Lord willing, at this hour, I'll preach on the gift, and trust that God will give us a great crowd next week, as that'll be Gift Sunday. But we're excited about all that we are going to get to experience in this Christmas season. If you would, find your place in Micah chapter number 5. It's in the Old Testament. It's toward the end of the Old Testament. It's not a very big book, but you'll find it there. If you get toward the end of the Old Testament, just go back a couple books and you'll see it. Micah chapter 5. As you're finding your place there in Micah chapter 5, we're going to look at verse number 2, but I did hear the story about this lady. She answered a knock at the door. It was about this time of year, but not quite this late. It was later further down south. It was still warm. And she was feeling benevolent. She wanted to help. It was just that season. But knocked at the door, and this fella said, "Hey, I need some money. Is there any odd jobs I can do around here?" And so she said, "Well, I don't know. Maybe yes." And she said, "Can you paint? Are you a good painter?" He said, "Oh yeah, I'm a great painter." And she said, "Well, I was going to paint the back the porch." And she said, "I've got the paint here." She had some couple gallons of paint and brushes and all that. She said, "Just take it around. You'll find the porch is back there on the back. Just go around the back of the house and paint it, scrape it, paint it, and let me know when you get done. I'll look at it. I want to give you what I can, but I want it to be a good job as well. And so you just go and get it done." He said, "Okay, I can do it, and I'm a good worker." So he came back around about an hour and knocked at the door again, and she was surprised that anybody was there, especially him. She said, "Oh, well, what are you doing back so soon?" And he said, "I'm done." He said, "Really? Did you do a good job?" She said, "Yeah, I did a great job." And he said, "But one thing, lady, around there," he said, "that's not a Porsche, that's a Mercedes." So, to those of you who aren't laughing, what happened was, she said, "Go to the porch." And he said, "That's not a Porsche, that's a Mercedes in the back." So, listen, it's Christmas time. Be benevolent. You laugh out of pity. Laugh whatever you can do. I'm sorry. So, in chapter 5, verse 2, we hear the town of Bethlehem. "But thou, Bethlehem." We're on the tail end of verse number 1. Of course, it follows it. But verse number 1 talks about Israel, or being judged with a rod upon the cheek, meaning it's just going to take a great blow. And so that's what was going to happen. But then, verse number 2, "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah." There was a couple of Bethlehems, and this was a happier word, Ephrathah. So it just differentiated which one they were talking about. "Though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me," that is, to be ruler in Israel, "whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting." So Israel would be smitten, but Bethlehem, something special is going to happen in you. This prophecy was given about 730 BC, so 730 years before that time of Christ. And it was true that Israel was going to be destroyed. Judah was going to be taken, conquered. And it did happen in verse number 1 that the judge of Israel would be with a rod upon the cheek. But God says there's something in that little place of Bethlehem that I promise will happen. But I want to look at a couple reasons this morning why it was unlikely that this was going to happen, all of the stuff, the promise that God had given. The first thing I want you to understand is they weren't necessarily looking for a king at that time. Israel, they did think that one would come, Messiah would come later, but they missed the whole time of Christ coming as a servant. And they were not looking for a king. The reason was back in later, after this prophecy was given, 587 BC, so 150 years later, Babylon had conquered Judah. Zedekiah was the last king that was in ruling there in Judah. And so the Babylonians came in and they captured it. in 2 Kings chapter 25 says, "And they slew the sons of Zedekiah," that was the king, "before his eyes, and put out the eyes of Zedekiah, and bound him with fetters of brass, and carried him to Babylon." And so they deported those people. They took them, they kidnapped them and took them to Babylon, and they ruled over Judah and Israel now. After that, Israel pretty much just had a token king. They would just have a servant of, at that time, the Babylonians. But the Babylonians got conquered, and then others got conquered them, and others conquered them. Until where you come down to the time of Christ, then the Romans were ruling there. And that's why when Jesus was put through that mock trial, and they said, "What about your king?" And the chief priest answered, "We have no king but Caesar." They weren't looking for a king. They certainly didn't want Jesus Christ. So it was unlikely that they were going to be looking for this king that was mentioned in Bethlehem. But not only that, we understand it's also unlikely that this was going to happen because Mary was not in Bethlehem and she was getting great with child. You remember that in Luke chapter 1, the Bible says that angel told Mary, "You're going to bring forth a son." In verse number 32, "The Lord God shall give unto thee, give unto him rather the throne of his father David." And Mary was promised that this Christ child would be the ruler. But you got to understand, she was getting closer and closer to the time that she was going to be having a baby. I've never been a lady and I've never had a baby, but I imagine if I was either one of them, I wouldn't want to be riding a donkey down from Nazareth, where she was, to Bethlehem, about 70 or 90 miles down from where she lived down to there. And so I'm sure as the time got closer, it was more and more unlikely that she was going to get down there. Did she know the times? Did she know the seasons? Did she know the place? Well, the scribes, they did. When the wise men later came to find the babe, they said, "Well, prophecies say it's going to be in Bethlehem." And so there's a lot of miraculous works done to make Micah chapter 5 verse 2 come to pass. I want to look at a few things today. These promises that God kept as we talk about the promise. Back in Micah chapter 5, verse number 2, it says that this Christ child, this ruler, this king, this person is going to come from Bethlehem. If you remember back going forward to when Mary was going to go visit her cousin Elizabeth, and Elizabeth was the mother of John the Baptist, and Mary was going to give the news of what she had heard from the angel. And as she talked to Mary, or she talked to Elizabeth, rather, the mother of John the Baptist, when Mary spoke, the Bible says that the babe, John the Baptist, leaped in her womb, and that Mary was filled with the Holy Ghost. And that's when she said those words, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." And so we understand that this Messiah, this king, is going to come from Bethlehem. That's the promise that God gave. Can you imagine the conversations that back in the day when Mary was talking to Elizabeth? So, "Well, Mary, how's this all going to happen?" Of course, she didn't have a husband. She didn't have, there was no earthly father. She said, "How's all this going to happen? Well, where's this baby going to be born?" And they would have been rare there in the Nazareth area. And I imagine one of those ladies knew the scripture enough. As I said, the scribes told the wise men in the Bible that, "Well, it's going to be Bethlehem." It would have been common knowledge amongst those Israelites, the Jewish people, that that's where Messiah was going to come from. And he came from Bethlehem at great coordination from God the Father. God coordinated everything. He coordinated Caesar to put out a decree that all the world should be taxed. He put out the taxes, and he coordinated, orchestrated all that. So can you imagine God even working in our taxes? That's a tough one, isn't it? Remember that April 15th that God was working back then. Maybe he's going to work through yours as well. He worked through that donkey that was used on the trip down from Nazareth to Bethlehem. One commentator said this, that donkey would have been the surest thing. I don't think you should bet on horses or bet on all that stuff. But if you want a sure thing, that donkey was going to have a good trip down to Bethlehem because God was going to use that donkey. It doesn't matter whether you drive a Ford or Chevrolet or a Toyota or a Nissan, but none of them are as certain as that donkey was, because God was going to deliver his promise when he said there'll be a babe born in Bethlehem. So we see that he would come from Bethlehem, but the promise was not only about the place. The promise was about the mother. You're in Micah. Look back, if you would, to the left in Isaiah. Isaiah is the large book in the Old Testament. It's easy to find. In Isaiah chapter 7, that passage further prophesies what's going to happen. And when you get there, it's going to say, "Behold," as Isaiah is prophesying, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. That sign will be this: Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Later we realize that that word Emmanuel means, being interpreted, God with us. And so not only was he going to come from Bethlehem, that was the promise, but he was also going to be born of a virgin. The promise was not only that that leader would come and that leader would come from that certain area, but this is the way that that Lord or that leader is going to come. That leader's not going to have an earthly father. Remember with me, if you will, that Mary, even though Joseph got cued in by the angel's visit, Elizabeth got cued in by Mary's visit, and then the babe leaping in the womb and the filling of her with the Holy Ghost. But truly, Mary was the only one that knew for certain of her status and the fact that she shouldn't be expecting a little one because she wasn't doing anything that would cause that. It had never been done this way before, so it was hard to believe. But God has done things that were hard to believe before. But you understand this morning that it had to be this way. It had to be that the babe in the manger that was the Christ child, which was the one that was going to go to the old rugged cross that we represent up here in the front of the auditorium, the babe that was born to die, as the lady sang about just a little bit ago, the babe that was born had to be born differently than anyone else, because the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse number 12, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world," that one man being Adam back in the Garden of Eden, "one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And so it was necessary that not only a king be born, not only a Messiah be born, but that king and that Messiah needed to be born differently than anyone else had ever been born before them. And so not only would he come from Bethlehem, but when he came, he would not come through the normal avenue. He would come from a virgin, a pure lady that had not known men. He would be born that way. You're in Isaiah chapter 7. Look over to the right just a page in Isaiah chapter 9. Not only would he be born of a virgin, but chapter number 9, verse number 6, gives us further insight into this promise that God is giving to all mankind, which now we have already seen fulfilled, but at this point it hadn't been yet. And he was speaking prophetically, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." He would not only hold the position and the title of king, but he would be God himself. Many people at this season of the year, they say, "Oh yes, we understand Jesus was the Son of God." And true enough, he was. But Jesus was and is the God, the Son. You say, "Pastor John, I don't understand that." Neither do I. My elevator of my brain doesn't go that high. You say, "How could he be one and the other?" I don't know. But that's not the only thing God's done that I don't understand either. There's plenty of other things that I can't describe with my small brain. So I can't explain it, but I do believe it by faith that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the great three in one. The Bible says that Jesus said, "I and my Father are one." They were one, but they also had distinct persons of that Trinity, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we see that he would not only be the Son of God, but he would be the incarnate God. The word incarnate just means embodied in flesh. So truly, royalty did leave heaven and robed himself in human flesh. No wonder when Simeon in the temple, when Joseph and Mary took the babe for the ritual, for the cleansing there that needed in the book of Luke, no wonder Simeon took him into his arms and says, "Mine eyes have seen the salvation of God." And my friend, perhaps you haven't ever thought about this, but that babe in a manger was not only God's Son sent from heaven, that's true, but he was more than that. He was God himself. Deity enrobed in human flesh. So as we go through this Christmas season, I already talked to you about folks being so secular and forgetting all of the important reasons, but we have the opportunity to proclaim to everybody what the true meaning of this season is. It's that God himself, not sending an angel or a representative, God himself leaving heaven's glory. And can you imagine the condescending way that he came and took upon himself human flesh, never losing his deity, but being 100% God and 100% man, took upon him the form of a man, born as a babe in Bethlehem's manger. So the promises are just there everywhere that God said, Bethlehem, you're the place, though you be little among all the rest, and there's not much significance in you, but you're the place. A lady would have a baby, but this baby would not be conceived as other babies had always been conceived. Instead, that which is conceived of her would be of the Holy Ghost. And so the Father, God the Father, orchestrating, God the Son, then God the Spirit puts it together, and we have the virgin born Son of God, God the Son, that came to die. Now, I told you here just a couple of weeks ago that many people love the Christ child because it brings a lot of marketing. It brings a lot of traditions and a lot of kindnesses in our world, in our nation specifically. But there are a lot of people who, although they love the Christ child or the thought of him, they don't love the Christ on the cross that was brutally killed and buried, and then 3 days later rose in victory. They love the beginning, but the beginning is no good without the end. And so truly, there is no stop in between Christmas and Easter. We celebrate the birth of Christ, but we celebrate the life, we celebrate the death, and then we celebrate the resurrection. And the reason that that counts for you and for me is because that Christ child, that babe in the manger, was no ordinary baby. He was the promised one. And this morning, my friend, maybe you've never thought about this, but that promise was made for you. There's a promise in Romans chapter number 10, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, that same Messiah, shall be saved. Commentators say that 200 to 300 to 400 prophecies were fulfilled when Christ came to the earth and then lived and had his ministry. Hundreds of times something was said in the Old Testament referencing what was going to happen in the New Testament. There's a lot of great confidences by that statement, but here's the one I want to share with you. If God was so certain to deliver on the promises he made in the Old Testament about the place, about the person, and then about the essence of who God himself was, if he was certain to make sure that every one of those promises got kept, then also every other promise that's in that Bible laying in your lap, he's going to fulfill. So what that teaches us, what that shows us, is that promises made by God are promises kept. If they haven't been kept yet, it's only because his time clock hasn't clicked off enough to need kept. They will be. You say, Pastor, why was it important that Jesus be born in Bethlehem? Before it was written in the Scripture, I don't know. But after it was written in Scripture, there was no place that that Christ child was going to be born other than that. As I mentioned, if you wanted to know a sure thing, you could have said for sure that Mary was going to make it to Bethlehem because God had already spoken that it would happen. So this morning, we get the joy of celebrating the promise of Christ. And if you're here this morning and you've known about Jesus for some time in your life, but you've never known him personally, that birth in the manger, that 33-year life on earth, then that death on the cross, that rising in victory over the grave, that wasn't done just so that we could have buildings here and have church. That was done so that you could have forgiveness of your sins and salvation. He was the sacrifice, the promised one. If you've never received Him as your personal Savior, we're getting ready in a couple weeks to give gifts back and forth, most of you. And it's simple that you receive something when somebody gives it, you choose to reject or receive. And there's sometimes you have to say, I can't take that. Well, the Bible is very clear that the gift of God, the promise, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that gift is received the same way that any other gift is received, and that is by just accepting. If you're here this morning, and for the first time it's clicked with you that Jesus Christ came to be my Savior, then my friend, I challenge you today that you would receive Him into your heart and life for the full forgiveness of your sins. Because without that gift, without that promise, my friend, you would be forever lost without salvation. And so this morning, I saw, just felt led of the Lord, that we dwell a little bit of time on the promise of God. We're at a great spot early in the Christmas season. You and I, we get to celebrate what this is all about. Do you know Him? Do you know Him as your personal Savior? If you don't, today's the day that you should receive Him. And if you do know Him as your Savior, my friend, you ought to spend this Christmas season telling other people about the gift, the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us, I pray, dear Lord. Thank you for this time to be in your house. Lord, I ask you to settle this promise down in our hearts. Perhaps we don't yet understand it fully, but Lord, you promised Bethlehem would be the place. A pure virgin young lady would be the person. And salvation, forgiveness of sins would be the product. Lord, I thank you for that promise. I pray if there's one or a few that aren't sure that they've ever opened their heart to Christ, that today they would do just that. And then I pray the others of us that have, that we would begin this season sharing the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. As they begin to play, if you're able to, I'd invite you to stand together. As we come to this time, it's the invitation. Maybe you've never put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You've never thought about it. You've always just known a little bit about Him, but you've never thought about it. He came to be your Savior. My friend, if you're not sure that you're saved, we could not save you if you paid us $1 million, but we could share with you the message of Christ that I just did. If you need somebody to help you, need somebody to clarify some things from the Scriptures, would you step out and come? Let Brother Daniel, he's right down here in the front, him or somebody, take a Bible and show you how you can be sure that you've got that gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. If anybody ever tells us it's from any other entity, any other church, any other person, then my friend, they're wrong. It's only through Jesus Christ. Would you come today? Maybe there's some other need on your heart. Maybe somebody needs to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. The Lord has led you in that. You'd like to come present yourself for membership. Maybe you're saved and you need to be baptized. You come present yourself for that, or some other spiritual need. The altar is open for you. You come. as they play through one more verse. If you're here today, you don't have it nailed down in your heart and soul that Jesus is your Savior. Oh, He wants to be. And you need some help, spiritual help. Just step out and come, I beg you. Thank you so much. You may look this way. It's been a joy to be in church today, and I'm going to have Brother Daniel come and lead us in one of those songs we already sang as our going home song. Let's see here. How about, O Come All You Faithful? The first one we did up there, if you get the first verse on there, and we'll sing that as our going home song, and by the time the Christmas season's over, you may be saying, Give me Jesus Saves or Victory in Jesus, but we won't grow tired of the Christmas songs that we get to sing. So we'll sing that first verse in the chorus. Amy and I will be back in the lobby. If you're in the Oasis group and you're able to come this Tuesday evening, 5 to 8, there's a sign-up sheet in the lobby. They'll need to know that. The church is providing the food, but we just need to know how much to buy for, how many to buy for, and if you need any other help out there, Amy and I will be in the lobby. It's so good to see each of you today. Brother Daniel, come sing for us. Thank you.